Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grill House in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grill House has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grill House in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
B-Pod Studios.
Get the app.
Check this out.
Get Boston's home for sports at your fingertips. Listen live or download a podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
How you doing, Stanky Lane?
You know, I went a year without touching myself.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Ammonia is not contagious.
What is not contagious?
Ammonia.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
5-15-75. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yo, what's up, Sports Hub?
It's your boy, Antec. I just want to drop a little something for y'all. Let y'all know how I feel, okay? Okay.
Yo, I woke up quick, right about 6, cause I had to go to work. Ain't that a bitch, but I really can't complain. No, not too much, bub, cause today I'll be listening to the Sports Hub. Bumping 98.5 while I make my money. They're not just informative, they're also funny. Zoe and Maz trying to help us with our tummies while everyone thinks Fred's attitude is crummy. Guess who it is emerging through the fog? No, it's not, no, midget with a dog. Yeah, I'm working on my rhymes and I'm trying to blow. The rich knows newcomers can't come and steal the show. Cruising on the highway in my work truck. 93 has traffic. Damn, this sucks. They got Brea for football and Jaffe for pucks. But some of the callers make me feel like dinner with schmucks. I'm very good with rapping. What more can I say? I like 420 and tattoos like Murray. But you want to know what hurts my stomach in the worst way? It's when Hardy does his impressions of Jim Irsay. He's like,
it's exciting. Yes, it's exciting.
Love what I'm writing. Soon be reciting, killing this flow. They love the way that I rock. I'm something to see, it's like the Big Bang Pop. Turn them on when I hit the road. Got my Dunk coffee and it's always cold. 98.5 if you didn't know, cause they certified gangsters. Turn them on while I'm making my cash. They always got to break a new fast. You get to learn and you get to laugh. Sports Hub, they certified gangsters. Yo, what's up, TNR? Yo, what's up, Zoe and the Beal? What's up, 2-6? Yo, what up, Hardy?
What up, Hardy?
Yeah. It's your boy, Antec. A-N-T-E-C. Yeah.
508, baby.
What's up, they certified gangsters.
Just text USA to 696969.
Hello, pigeon lickers. You know something? I don't like O'Dags, your fat, mutt-landed, marabop, and yellow belly long-nosed geezers.
Long-nosed geezers. I did a lot of digging on the internet on Wolfman from that. What's the name of that trading post? Clark's Trading Post up in New Hampshire. I spent probably a good 45 minutes looking at Wolfman stuff yesterday. And so, it's all great because it's one of those things that, you know, I knew it existed, but I didn't know to what extent the strangeness was that happened there.
Yeah, I had no idea it existed. Good morning, everybody. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program in the Town Fair Tire Studios. And, yes, so what did you find? So there's this trading post situation in New Hampshire. I had never heard of it or read anything about it. And it appears that this is a thing where you take a train and then the guy is dead now, but this quote-unquote pirate who just looked like he was homeless.
He's not a pirate. Okay, so...
He's supposed to be a pirate, right?
No, just because he has an eye patch. It's just because his eye got blown out somehow. I don't know whether... He's like a prospector or like... Okay. Or even like a... he's got like a coonskin cap. He's supposed to be like a mountain man, like a hillbilly, I guess.
Well, because everyone... You know, in Disney... They just have random prospecting hillbillies that come up and threaten your children.
So if you ever go to New Hampshire, and I know you've been up there for Storyland, that's kind of how this whole thing got started yesterday, is, you know, when you're up there and you go to any kind of one of these restaurants or there's always these, like, walls of pamphlets of different, like, knockoff attractions that you could get and, you know, an ad for the hotel that's got themes in it. Look, this one, you're spending the night in a jail room, or this one, it's like the crazy adventure suites. And then there's, like, you know, rock climbing places, but there's always one for Clark's Trading Post, and you'll see, like, a random billboard every once in a while, and it'll always say, like, come see the wild man or the wolf man. And I'm like, and it would have a picture of this guy who just looks like he fell asleep on the sidewalk at Park Street.
That's what I'm saying, is that you could go to San Francisco and go to any corner, and there'd be five of these guys.
True. Right, and it would sound exactly like this gentleman. And we had people call in, and I didn't know what it was. Now, I'd driven past it before, but it never looked like it was open. But I guess it does some gangbusters, because the people who sent me pictures, what they do is they promote that there's this wild man guy and that there's bear shows. And anytime you have like an animal that shouldn't really be in a place that it's in, like being like trained, it's just kind of depressing to me.
So they're actual bears.
Black bears.
Okay, they're not like the president's thing at Disney World. They're not animatronic or whatever.
No. These are real black bears, and they've got them like in a big cage, and people can sit around and watch people do things to black bears.
Oh, that seems like a nice thing, that you put a bunch of black bears in a cage.
Well, there was one time
in New Hampshire.
I went to this, like, it wasn't even really a zoo. It was just a place that promoted that they had a bear, and it was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, which is just like, I mean, it's Trash Vegas, I think they used to call it, which is where you go. It's where Dollywood is. It's an amusement park that is based around Pigeon Dolly Parton. Well, but it's right next to it. Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg are essentially the same thing.
All right.
And so when I went there, there was a room you could go into, and there was a old swimming pool that had been emptied out, and someone had drawn trees on the side of the swimming pool to make it look like a forest, and you could buy marshmallows to throw at the black bear. That he would just like catch this. I'm like, this can't be good for the bear at
diabetic
all.
Diabetic bear.
Apparently it is. That's right. Boy. Type 2 diabetes. So I'm not saying that they do that here. However, the pictures that people are sending us, they would have this bear that was just, you know, sitting and being trained. But that's not the highlight. The highlight is, apparently you go on a train, and out of nowhere comes this crazy old dude who, once again, looks like he's feral. And I don't know how much this is an act and how much is really just this guy. And he's got an eye patch, and he's got a coonskin cap.
And he's got a car that looks like he has, like, a Gatlin gun on it.
Yeah, like, it's almost like a jalopy, but like armed.
Yeah, it's got like a Gatling gun on it with bullets. Like that, like on the side there's bullets.
Right, it's an armed jalopy, and he's got a shotgun. And I guess the shtick is he pulls up beside the train and starts yelling at the kids. And if the kids yell, "Shoo, you old goat," it makes him lose his crap and start going nuts. And once again, this is what he sounds like. And could you distinguish this between a act at Clark's Trading Post or some random guy at Harvard Square yelling at the moon?
Hello, pigeon lickers. You know something? I don't like hodags, you flat mutt-landed marabopping yellow belly long nose geezers. What are you doing on my turf? No, I do you. I'll take you, and I'll take your hands, and I'll stick you right down those jaws down there. My car runs off of flatlanders. And if you ever come with me, double-cross me, you'll become varmint stew, especially kids. Boiled kids with skunk cabbage and rat tail. That's my favorite.
So his whole thing, you know what? This is actually probably fairly effective. Did your parents ever threaten you guys with, you know, I'm going to take you to so-and-so, and I'm going to, like, I remember that, like, my grandpa used to say, I'm going to take you to the back country, which I didn't even know what that meant, but I thought it just meant he was going to leave me in the woods.
No,
like,
I was never threatened in that fashion.
See, I was going to take you to the back country.
Not really.
I didn't even know what that meant, but now it would be like, hey, if you act up, I'm going to drop you off with Wild Man. And I have a feeling this was just meant to scare children.
Yeah, wild man, it would be like you would read a book about kids that were raised by bears. Like there were always stories when you're growing up, and then the kid was raised by bears, and they were especially nice to him. Yeah, if you drop him off with this guy. But I have a feeling if you dropped him off and he wasn't even in character, there's not a lot happening.
No, and it stinks because apparently that guy died, and so they had auditions for the new, I keep going Wildman's, Wolfman. They had auditions for the new Wolfman, and that might have been something that would have been worth the trip just to see what kind of people showed up for that.
Well, people that were highly irresponsible with their children.
And their shotguns.
Yeah, I mean, he threatens the children. He says that he likes to make, he's a cannibal. If you take it at face value, he's a cannibal.
He likes to eat children.
That especially likes children. And then he calls them pigeon lickers.
Right.
Which he says that they'll capture pigeons and lick them. And then he likes to make stew out of humans, as every prospector does. And then especially children, he likes to eat them. And that's the place you're going to.
Yeah, but he died 2 years ago.
All right. Well, Colin, quickly, we will talk to Colin because Brian Scalabrine is coming on. Colin, hey. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
So, real quick, I grew up in Massachusetts. You grew up around here. You grew up going to Clark Strait and Post. At least if you're a redneck, you grew up going to Clark Strait and Post. I still have the Wanted poster that I bought at the gift shop for the Wolfman.
Now, was that a real Wanted poster?
I didn't get it at, like, the post office or anything.
Oh, okay, I was wondering if there was an FBI. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you grew up idolizing the Wolfman, as I would imagine many kids did. That's where you wanted to be. You wanted to be the Wolfman. Brian Scalabrine, he of ripping off bits that we created and doing them for himself. He's doing the Scal Challenge again.
Mm-hmm. The Scallenge.
The Scallenge,
yes.
I'm sorry.
2.0.
The Scallenge 2.0 without giving us any credit, as he's been in Rolling Stone and not giving us any credit. But we'll talk to him coming right up.
Middays. Willie McGinnis, NFL Network on the future of Rob Gronkowski. Willie thinks he's going to retire, and somewhere deep in the season, he decides, you know what? I'm ready to play again. If that's what it is for Rob Gronkowski, I don't like it. Are you in or are you out?
Out. Nothing in moderation. Right. Either do it or don't.
Now, he's a great player, but throw him in the mix week 11, and then he's got to get his football legs about him? I'd rather have him around, put him on a pitch count, put him in line, let him block, and then just pick your spots with him,
and then unleash him in November and December.
Solak and Bertrand, weekdays at 10. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hi, how are you, honey?
Hello!
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Toucher and Rich.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Actually, Brian Scalabrine going to join us around 6:30. So, Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, just a minute into the game, the Bruins are already behind the eight ball.
Shifley brings it in. Dishes near side, and it's rattled in. Blake Wheeler able to tap in the puck after the one-timer from Laine kissed off the near post. Wheeler dumps it home, and the Bruins trailing 1-0.
Ah, Blake Wheeler. Another early deficit, another come-from-behind tie, only to end in another loss. The Bruins drop their third in a row. 4-3 in Winnipeg, an extremely depleted core. We're quickly down 2-0 in the first. However, a nice shot from Charlie McAvoy and a quick one from Nordstrom tied things up temporarily.
Rally bursts in there, gets position on Nikku. He rotates to the right circle, fires, Hellebuck the save, rebound, Achari. Couldn't chip it by him. They score! Second attempt! The Bruins would not be denied. It's Joakim Nordstrom who slammed it home inside the far post, and the Bruins have squared the game at 2 here in Winnipeg.
By the way, that was Nordstrom's first goal since December 17th.
I was going to say almost first goal of the season. How long has it been for him? Jeez.
It's been a while. Well, Winnipeg answered back with two more, and that was that. Bees drop another one
Here is Bruce Cassidy afterwards.
Not much was happening, and we had a bad turnover, obviously, in the fourth goal. But, one of those, you need some saves or plays to make a difference in the game. In the third, they made them. We didn't. They get the 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, real quick, and the Tuca haters were out in force on social media last night, which doesn't always coincide with reality. But I'll ask you, Fred. You watched the game last night. I was mainly Celtics and then flipping over to Bruins after the Celtics game was over. The last two goals to me that Winnipeg scored really weren't Rask's fault. The goaltending hasn't been bad.
No.
And even when the Bruins got shelled a couple of games ago, Cassidy said the goaltending's fine. The people in front of them have been awful.
Well, yeah, they don't have a lot of players.
But, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's not goaltending. They've lost three in a row, but they're missing a ton of people at this point.
Yeah, their defense, which is the strength of the team, is completely depleted. So, I mean, yeah, you can't blame Rask. I mean, what are they down to? So Krug's out. Grizzlick's out.
Dubrovskis out.
No,
just defensively.
Krug is still out.
Krug and Grizzlick are the two big ones.
Well, yeah, but you're missing three of your six defensemen.
Yep, and Miller.
Miller.
Right.
So you're missing three or six. And up front, I honestly don't know who's going to skate with Krejci one day to the next. I'm sure he doesn't either. It's really scary. I mean, Nordstrom's skating on a line with Krejci at times. And we just talked about his offensive problems. I think Coyle, that's the first goal he scored since he got traded here. And they're in a lot of trouble. You have to hope they get healthy soon.
Well, Toronto's been losing, too.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Well, yeah. I mean, you hope they get healthy for the playoffs. I mean, you don't rush anyone. Get healthy for the playoffs. I just saw, you won home ice, obviously, but Toronto's better on the road than they are at home. But, yeah, I mean, they're being really careful. Miller is apparently the guy that is the worst off because they're not talking about him. Everyone else, they're giving, they're saying is not so bad.
Yeah, Pastrnak and DeBrusque are skating, which is a good sign. I mean, I'm just hoping all this firepower comes back. We're beginning to run out of time here in the regular season.
Yeah. Miller is the only guy that I'm really worried about. Because I don't know if he plays again this season. No one does.
Right.
I have no idea what's going on with him. He's not skating. So I don't know what's going on with him. But
They're locked in. They're going to play Toronto one way or another.
Yes.
Either the Bruins with home ice or Toronto with home ice. They're going to play Toronto. And, yeah, the Maple Leafs haven't set the world on fire either, which is a saving grace, because I, too, think the Bruins need home ice against
for a
that
game
team.
Seven,
because
right.
they're pretty damn even, those two teams.
Okay, so you know how I know you guys. Do any of you guys have the ESPN Plus?
No. You mean the online thing?
I do not.
I do, but I don't really use it that much.
Well, you don't use it?
Mm-mm. You talk about the insider thing?
You can click on the things.
It's a little different. Like Kobe Bryant has something called Details, where he details
players.
That's
about,
on ESPN.
Yeah,
the
thing that you get with the ESPN magazine subscription. Right. Yeah, I have it, but
I would put it the other way around.
I think draft time is the only time that
I use it.
And you're actually right, Fred, because I bought it for some sort of article I wanted to read. It was like $9.99 or something. And I ended up getting the magazine, and I never read that magazine.
No, I told him I just get the digital version and throw it out. But here is what, if you're not signed into it, here is what is on the front page. It goes ESPN, and here are your options. NFL, NBA, MLB, soccer, NCAA, men's basketball, and MMA. There is no
you're missing,
NHL.
NHL nice. In there.
Yeah, I just like that it's soccer and MMA.
You know, it's interesting. You go on team pages for anybody on that ESPN website, and they have a list of news stories. You know, if you look on the Patriots, they'll go into detail a lot of Mike Reese stories and about who they've signed, how much the cap hit is, the two Jets signings they had yesterday. This guy's a strong special teamer. This guy's a bad. You go to the Bruins and you just have game stories and that's it.
And the highlights with no.
Exactly.
There's no voiceover.
Right. It's just music. No, right. That's true. They have just taken the NHL and stuck it in a closet somewhere.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. But everyone wants MMA coverage.
And the face of the coverage on ESPN television remains Barry Melrose. He's all by himself. There's nobody else.
Who I contend does not watch hockey.
No, there are times I've watched him, and it's clear he has not seen the game.
Yeah, if you watch Barry Melrose and you're really following the Bruins and he's talking about the Bruins.
Oh.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yep.
And not like an acute, like, oh, Joe Buck sucks way. in like he really doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's like
about.
On a beach somewhere. You know what, Barry? We need you to just come in and BS for about 10 minutes.
I bet you he's in Bristol 3 weeks out of the year. And then everything else is done on, like, you know, with the green screen behind him, right. Like you can do up in Newton.
During the playoffs, he's there, and then that's it.
Yeah.
Well, the Bruins
late
return
in the playoffs.
The Bruins return home tomorrow night to take on the Blue Jackets. We're heading back out on the road. You can, of course, hear that game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And after falling behind to the Kings by 17, the Celtics went full-on cheat code at the Garden.
Bagley drives, spins. Horford stays with him, blocks the shot. Robert Williams the rebound. Here comes Kyrie.
Numbers.
Celtics have scored 11 straight, try to take the lead. Horford kick out. Jaylen, three. Oh. Got it.
Ooh. Man, that's the way to get the crowd going. Somebody get off my toe. Get off it.
14 straight points for the Celtics. It is, wait for it, their largest lead of the night, 91-89. Final minute of the third.
It almost seemed like he was so into the game that he forgot to give him Maxism, and he threw that in there. Like he was legitimately enjoying himself, and he's like, oh, I got to say something ridiculous.
Well, he did a Barney from, what's his face, did a Barney from How I Met Your Mother when he was like, wait for it.
Yes.
Which is, it's a really... Sophie's Choice there at the, if you're home, TBS has got Friends, which is unwatchable, and then I believe it's TNT or something, has How I Met Your Mother.
Which I cannot stand.
Yeah, but you got to go How I Met Your Mother over Friends.
If you're asking me which of those two TV shows I would watch at this point, even though I hate both of them, I would say How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, I agree.
I think Ted Mosby is the most unlikable character in the last 15 years.
But I will raise you David Schwimmer and the Perry fella, Matt Perry.
Yeah, Matt Perry, yeah. Chandler Bing, not a big fan.
No, and Phoebe might be the most annoying character in a sitcom in the last 20 years. When she was doing Smelly Cat and that stuff,
what's her name from The Pretenders? Yeah, Chrissy Hynde.
It's not only not funny, it's grating and impossible to watch. She couldn't get on Saturday Night Live. She auditioned.
I'd say she made out okay, though.
Made a lot of money.
How many, like $1 million per episode or something?
You know, she was on Mad About You. So I'm mad about you.
Well, Jaylen Brown hit three-pointers in less than 90 seconds, and there was no looking back after that. 126-120, the final score. Jaylen Brown has been exactly the consistent player the team's needed going into the playoffs. He scored another 22 last night. And, of course, Kyrie got his as well.
Healed. Catch and shoot three. No good. Rebound. There it is. Triple-double for Kyrie Irving. And he cradled that rebound like he was in a crowd and nobody else was there. 30 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, triple-double for Kyrie.
So believe it or not, for as great of a player that Kyrie Irving is, that was only his second triple-double of his career. I had to double-check that. And his first in 5 years.
Yep.
It's been since 2014. 31 points, 12 assists, and 10 rebounds. That is also the Celtics' first triple-double this season. Even Marcus Morris kind of got off the schneid. He scored. I mean, he sucked at the beginning of the game, and then he made up for it at the end, scoring 21 points. It's the team's fourth win in 5 games. Here is Brad Stevens afterwards.
My encouragement tonight comes from just kind of gutting it out and finding a way down 17, staying together. Had every excuse to not play well tonight. And just, you know, that's more of what we have been, you know, fortunate enough to be used to.
So the first half was obviously a little bit tough to watch, but that didn't stop my man Tommy Heinsohn from being completely locked in, coming back, starting the second half.
Your thoughts, Tom?
My thought is that the speed of the Sacramento team has made the Celtics come up with various mismatch situations on defense. And they're so well-schooled, Sacramento, that they know how to take advantage of that. And they got one guy who's a terrific shooter and Heald, and it's catchy.
Didn't mean to catch a big cookie there. That wasn't fair.
Between Max and Heinsohn, yeah. The amount of sweets that are being consumed.
Yep. Right, how much of the dessert bar in the
guys not have diabetes? I mean, the amount of sugar consumed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the time I said it before, the time I saw Max, he had cookies and a piece of chocolate cake in front of him.
He does it on the road too. He'll find it, he'll find like a stand of some kind and bring like ice cream and a helmet or something back. It's really something.
In the helmet, he has to have the helmet one.
Whatever it is.
Well, so last night's win pulled the Celtics within a game and a half of the fourth place 76ers in the Eastern Conference. They remain two games behind third place Indiana, who won yesterday at Oklahoma City. Next up, Celtics play the Hawks tomorrow afternoon at the Garden. Tip off is 12:30, and I'm actually pretty bummed because the next game after that is Monday night against Denver, a game which I'm going to, and Isaiah Thomas is more than likely not going to be playing because last night he was benched after trying to return from injury. That story has gotten really, really sad, and I feel bad for the guy. Did you see the article this morning that from Denver about how they just they need to let him go because it's embarrassing at this point? They need to cut him?
Yeah, it seems like his career is over.
I mean, that is, and if it ended because of injuries that he sustained here,
I think definitively it would have.
And
if that's the case, there's no doubt about it. There's no going around that. He was a dominant player.
And dominant.
He played himself. Well, I mean, he played himself out of his body. I mean, he maxed out on what his body could do. He tore it up.
He's very
small. That's exactly what would happen. If he has to retire now, it's exactly because of what happened here.
All right. We will be joined with Brian Scalabrine, we'll be joined by Brian Scalabrine. I don't know how you put it, but he'll be on the air with us.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Watch Boston's top-rated morning show, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. You know, I made those guys.
Did you really?
They should have a drawing of me right there. They'll preview the Patriots-Bengals, plus talk fantasy football. Okay. It's presented by Sleepy's.
Never sleepy on that show.
Even at 6 a.m., it's never sleepy.
Jordan Mickey's at the free throw line.
You know, that little drawing of Toucher and Rich, I mean, they can insert me behind
Jake Tapper did that, I think.
I mean, come on. Can't get a headshot on that? Like, you know, I don't need this once in a while. I do come on the show, you know, not as much as you do, but.
You want to talk about making those guys?
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. Come celebrate March Madness at the first inaugural 3-on-3 Scalabrine Classic. Sunday, March 31st at the Roxbury Latin School in West Roxbury. 3-on-3 competition, ages 10 to 40-plus years of age. 100% of the proceeds generated will benefit charity partner Shooting Touch, a local NGO helping over 1,500 at-risk youth and women gain health services and education through basketball in Boston and Rwanda. For more info, go to @shootingtouch.com. Hello, Brian Scalabrine.
Hey, guys. Long time no talk.
I know. It's just like you're out there stealing ideas of ours and just walking around.
I did steal that. You know, it's amazing how many people come up to me and ask me now to do the Scallenge. So this is my version of Scallenge 2.0, so I'm pretty excited about it.
You could say thank you at any point if you want.
Yeah, you're right. You guys know, I mean, as much as I say those things, you guys know what the real deal is. I do owe you guys a ton, man. Without you guys, I would never exist. I'd be in Seattle somewhere, you know, like on my farm right now, but it's all good.
Farm? Well, listen, you're doing it for charity, so we're not going to bust your balls too much, but we are going to just next time you're interviewed for Rolling Stone and you say that you were on a radio show, just drop our name, man. Yeah, that's all you got to do.
All right. You're right. I know the real deal, you know, like now I get it. I was just starting out in the business, you know, and so now I truly, truly understand and appreciate what you guys have done for me.
There you go. That's all I wanted.
That's it, right there.
That was easy.
Interview over. Perfect.
I'll see you guys later.
All right. I wanted to. Okay. The first thing I knew I wanted to ask you about this morning is, okay, so this whole thing that happened with Russell Westbrook and him popping off with Utah, you know, the people out in Utah. Now all of a sudden, there's all this talk about how Utah has this reputation for having the worst fans, so much so that the owner, I forget what her name is, but very nice, seems like a nice old lady, came out there and made this speech But did when you played in Utah, was the crowd always like that? Like, do they have that reputation? And why have I not just heard about this until now?
You know, just keeping it real, no. I don't remember it being that way. But once again, anytime you're dealing with racial issues, I have very little perspective for that. And I think the league, I don't know, 20 years ago was much different. Like, dudes just dealt with it. And now, I'm not saying, like, Westbrook is sensitive or the world is sensitive or any of that stuff, but it does seem that way. So I'm not a good guy to ask. Like, you know, asking me whether people in Utah are racist towards players is probably not the right question to ask a guy like me. I mean, there's probably a lot of guys that have gone through stuff that I just personally thought back in the day, like, fans said crazy stuff and it was all part of the deal. But clearly it's different nowadays.
Like which crowd, like which city had the biggest a-holes? Not even as much racist, but just would say stuff to players. Philly, always.
Yeah, they're great. I always thought that stuff was awesome. You know, like there used to be a guy that stood behind the bench with a whiteboard, and he would write down my stats, and he'll be like, points plus assists plus rebounds equals waivers. You know, and I mean, he just come up with this wild, wild stuff. Like, one time he said, Derrick Rose, how did you go to Detroit and improve 400 points on your SATs? Like, how do you know those things? You know, it's like, he was standing right behind the bench. So we're all looking at the huddle, and then, you know, like, you look up and you see this whiteboard and this is the funniest stuff that he would write. And so, you know, I always thought, like, fans were great for that reason. You know, that guy doesn't go to games anymore. He's not around. So I think, in general, I think people have gotten more sensitive to that, and maybe they don't want incidences anymore. And the NBA has the right to do what they want to do, and this guy got banned for life, you know, for his little spat with Westbrook. And so I guess that's what it is. But the NBA is very, very sensitive to what players feel nowadays.
Was there ever a moment when I'm thinking about that, of course, the championship team, but with that group of guys where somebody yelled something from the crowd and there was almost an incident? Because everyone's human. And to be quite honest, if someone was yelling the stuff that apparently was reported Russell Westbrook yelled, you know, he's got a right to be pissed. But was there ever like a moment where something almost happened?
And KG almost went into the
crowd.
Right,
and a guy almost I don't want to mention KG, but anyone that you know of that you were playing with, where it almost came to that.
No. I mean, there are security people in place to handle this type of stuff. So even if it did get a little bit out of control, my whole point is, like, you know, Russell Westbrook, all right, you're the former MVP of the league. You can't, like, it's your job now to call fans out. Can't you just point to somebody and be like, hey, you? If you ask any major stars that walk around in clubs with bodyguards or any of that stuff, the reason they have bodyguards is for incidences like this. There are security people in place. It's like Westbrook is now taking it upon himself to play point guard for the Thunder, you know, be the MVP of the league, and also, like, call out fans. Like, I can't go with that.
Yeah, well, the thing when the kid touched him, relax.
Yeah, I know.
Like a little kid, like, poked you, all right?
Yeah. I know. I'm with you. And, you know, like, the NBA, they're very protective of this type of stuff, but you know, my personal opinion, a little bit out of control.
By the way, I noticed this again last night. When you and Kyle Draper work together, you guys, like, legitimately almost seem to get in fights all the time.
Well, it's not legit.
I can tell that Draper is getting, like, thoroughly frustrated sometimes with you. Like, he'll try to make a point, you'll be just like, no, man, that's wrong. And I don't, like... It looks like it's really pissing him off.
Scal has no patience for this.
No,
I'm good at going back and forth. I actually, like, nowadays in the business, I look for things that Kyle says so I can just, like, take the other route. But and I would say, like, this whole trip, you know, like, everyone loved the West Coast trip, and you know what? It was better than Houston, but I wasn't overreacting to that. So Kyle was, like, drinking the Kool-Aid, and I wasn't. So therefore, I wanted to see how he felt about last night's game. And I actually thought from last night's game, I actually was high on the Celtics for dealing with the adversity coming off the West Coast swing. And I was actually really happy about the win last night. But the, like, beating Golden State, to me, it's not about, like, the names on the front of your jersey. You beat Golden State, it's a big deal on the road. No. You got to watch how they play. You got to watch their team. You got to watch the Lakers. You go into LA and you beat LeBron and the Lakers. No. Like they were, that was a scrimmage. So I'm not looking at that and saying, oh, this Celtic team is back because they went to Golden State and they beat Golden State. I have to watch the game. That's my job. And so then you, everything is fine and we get blasted by the Clippers. But, and all in all, Kyle thought I was going to be down about the win because we went down big to the Kings. I was happy with that. I mean, coming off a West Coast swing, coming back, and Buddy Hield was making ridiculous shots. For you to have the – and I'm my whole thing with this team has always been, can you deal with adversity? And I thought the other night at home, the Boo Birds were out just a little bit early, and they dealt with adversity. Kyrie was unbelievable. So I was happy with that win.
All right, talk more about Kyrie, who was really invested right from the beginning last night and played one of his best games in a Celtic uniform. There's been a lot of questions about his leadership. How do you think all of that is working out?
Well, ever since the Houston game, whatever happened, I don't know if they sang Kumbaya on the plane. I just think he's more engaged on both ends of the floor. And that's, and to me, that's all he needs to be. You know, like, you're not, I don't need him to, you know, be the great leader, call everybody out, you know, like, at, like, you know, establish the state of the Celtics every time, you know, the team wins or loses. I don't need any of that. I just, from Kyrie, I just want to see him play hard, play with passion. Whatever happens, happens. So I'm not too concerned with wins and losses. I'm concerned with effort level. And since the Houston game, like, he has been special Kyrie. Goes wherever he wants on the floor. His ball movement's been great. He had a great balance of, I'm going to get mine, but I'm going to get other people involved. So, and I, last night was a good example of that. Things could have went sideways because we've seen this team before. When things go bad, you know, they go, it goes really bad. But he kept responding, kept coming up. And he didn't really shoot the ball. 11 for 28. He was 11 for 28, and he impacted the game. So I do disagree. I don't think it's one of his better games. But as far as effort and attention to detail, I do think that was, as far as one of his better games, I thought that was the best he's played as far as energy, effort, and attention to detail.
Now, were you on the magical flight that everyone was excited about? Okay, so you were not on that flight.
I heard that was so blown out of proportion.
Oh, really?
I talked to a lot of people that are like, it was just another flight. But, you know, people got to write stories.
So it's like folklore? Like, it's kind of like, yeah. Oh, the story of the flight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It was just another flight. And they did, it was a long flight. So it was like 7 hours. So people had a few conversations. But it was like they all sat around and, you know, they had a team meeting or anything like that. I heard it was so overblown.
How important is this seeding right now? Because, and I heard you and Kyle once again talking a little bit about this last night. I mean, right now they're still in fifth. They could be all the way up to third. It depends on how things shake out the last couple of games. But, like, how important is that to you?
So, to me, I would rather this team finish fourth or fifth, and obviously fourth, so you can have home court advantage. I don't care if we play Philly or Indiana. A lot of people think Philly would be a much harder, but I think Indiana's a much harder playing team. They're more relentless than 76ers, and the Celtics have, I think, the 76ers number. Now, playoffs are completely different, whatever. They also owned them last year. But I think Milwaukee in the second round would be a better matchup for the Celtics. Like, I'm not sure we can beat Toronto. There's nothing that this team has showed me where I'm like, okay, we're going to be able to beat Toronto. So, with that being the case, I'd rather them push it off to later in the playoffs because maybe there's a little bit of momentum to getting by. Think about it. If they got by Philly in the first round, if they got by Milwaukee in the second round, then they must be playing a lot better than what we're seeing right now. Then it gives them the best chance to go into Toronto and get a win, and that's what it all comes down to because you guys know, like, the Garden is magical during the playoffs, so I just think it's really hard for a team like Toronto to come in there and win. So it comes down to, you have three chances. Can you beat Toronto one time on the road? And if you're playing good ball, you probably can. So I kind of rather not be a three seed if Milwaukee finishes first, which it looks that way.
Are you doing the big three again this year?
I am.
Did you see that some of your old friends are going to be joining? I saw a list
of a ton, yeah.
Yeah, like Eddie House is going to be there.
Oh, he's going to light it up.
Can he?
Yeah, I want Eddie House on my team, and so we'll see how it all plays out. But I saw him. He has to drop like 20 pounds, and I would be really interested in seeing him. I told him straight up. I said, "Look, it, man. I really want you on my team. You're a fun guy. You're one of my favorite teammates of all time.
But
I know you can still shoot it,
but you're really out of shape."
Yeah, but you, I mean, like, if you got to drive, he's like, I will, man. I'll get it. I'll lose the weight. So I'm I'm happy about that. Perkins is another one I got to, like, seriously take a look at. It'd be great. You know what?
He's fat, too.
Yeah, it'd be great to see some, like, just hang out 10 weeks with some of my old guys, man. Yeah. I think it'd be great.
Yeah, it's called the Fat Boys.
Yeah, so Eddie House just said, "I'm eating" when he was done?
No, I think he got hurt and he just, like, sort of dropped the ball. But Eddie is one of these guys that he was a hard worker. So I could see him doing it. But I'm texting him every 2 weeks, like, you getting in shape? He's like, "Yeah, man, I'm working hard." He had shoulder surgery, so hopefully he comes back and he's good.
They got Greg Oden, too. Like, Greg Oden's going to be doing it.
Yeah. All right, we got a break. Brian Scalabrine, the first inaugural 3-on-3 Scalabrine Classic. Get all the information at shootingtouch.com. Brian, it's always a pleasure.
All right, guys, thank you.
appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Or out of town, Boston's Home for Sports is on your phone. Listen live or download an original podcast. 98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
One, two, three. Ladies loving my music, it's like some... Yeah. Trying to grip up my mic like it's a run around the corner to pick up the new
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer is going to be in studio. The over under on him wearing a Ohio State shirt.
Over under, you mean, say 9 chances out of 10 he's wearing something Ohio State. Doesn't have to be a sweatshirt. It could be something else, like a hat, socks, something like that.
There will be something Ohio State.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Oh, speaking of colleges, I don't know if I won my bet yesterday.
You did not win your bet. I don't think I did. You did not.
Because I don't even know what I bet.
Seattle. It was Seattle against Grand Canyon University.
Yeah.
And the quarterfinals of the WAC, Seattle was +6, and they lost by 9.
Ah, okay. Well, I lost it on that.
Although, I checked this morning because I was very curious.
However, Joe Murray was on fire yesterday. He won his first 6 games.
Right.
And I think the last 2 he lost, including the one that I had bet on.
Yeah.
The Grand Canyon State, which I think is the first time I've lost a bet from them in like 3 months.
You're back to even, right?
Back to even. Back to nothing. I put it all in. I went all in.
His bankroll is down to nothing.
Back to zero.
That's why you should have just kept letting it ride and ride and ride. The Grand Canyon, but in fairness, I don't think Joe Murray really knew what was going on with that game. It was just something that
Just jumped on it and you caught Joe completely by surprise. Did he win the Hawaii game? That's the one he wanted to bet. I don't know if he won that one.
I think he lost that one too. Okay. I think the final 2 of the day he lost, whereas the first 6, he killed it.
Yeah, he was
6-2 is not a bad day.
He was steadfast on the Hawaii game, and then I brought up the mighty Grand Canyon Antelopes, and you were all over it.
Well, because that sounds random, because as Fred said,
it was very
that's
random.
Like one of those schools where half the people who go there are online, they're online students.
It's like a weird religious school that advertises all the time online.
Two more wins, and Thunder Dan has his team in the NCAA tournament.
Well, listen, I mean, I can't believe they're in the WAC either.
Yeah.
Like they're just—it's like some random, like small ass school that people are online.
You should see the teams that are left. I mean, directional, like UT, like San Pedro of whatever. I mean, it's really weird the teams in that conference.
Yeah, that's the Grant. Yeah, that's a weird religious school that's like online. It seems miserable. Every time I see that commercial.
The Grand Canyon University.
Oh, yeah. Like, to go to, like, there's one thing about, like, St. John's or something, but go to, like, some evangelical school, that's a fun way to kick it in college.
Well, I wonder what the brain power is. I mean, are they close to Ivy League or what? I mean.
Oh, yeah. When you're advertising on TBS at 1 in the morning.
Winners, UT, Rio Grande Valley, New Mexico State, Utah Valley, and Grand Canyon. Those are the final 4 in the conference.
That's what the WAC is now?
Apparently.
The Western Athletic Conference, not exactly killing it. All right, Bert Breer is supposed to be here. Here are the headlines.
We'll be right back.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.